Welcome to Argyle Chat, the weekly Argyle podcast brought to you by Plymouth Live Sports Desk.
Hello and welcome to Argyle Chat. Joining me today is Chris Errington yet again. Hello, Chris.
Good morning, and I'm joined by Jack Ball. You should give yourself a name check, Jack.
Just the two of us yet again?
Yeah, but you know, again, plenty to talk about. Argyle away in Holland last week, so I think there was a fair few fans went over to the games. We were back at base, but fortunately managed to speak to Derek Adams on the phone a few times, so kept up to date what was going on. And typically with Argyle, it wasn't a quiet week away, was it? Particularly with the goalkeeping situation.
Is anything ever straightforward with Argyle these days?
But the goalkeeping curse continues, doesn't it? It's just incredible how it's been in the last 12 months, and unfortunately Harry Burgoyne's become the latest victim, hasn't he?
He has, which we'll touch on that in a little bit. I mean, like you said, you spoke to Derek Adams a few times throughout the pre-season. It's good of him to make himself available when he's out there. The last time I think you spoke to him was on Friday night. Mm-hmm. So did he sort of give an assessment about the week as a whole?
Yeah, he was very pleased with it. He thought it worked well. He thought that it was a good opportunity for the players as a group, new and old, to get together. I saw from some tweets that, you know, they had a big quiz one night, and you know, that's always good for morale and a bit of a laugh and a joke.
I read Paul Watson didn't win though, which I hear he wasn't very happy about.
Paul Watson's always been Mr. Competitive, so I would imagine if he played Tiddlywinks, he would want to win it. So yeah, I can imagine that he wouldn't have been best pleased at not winning the quiz. But Derek Adams said that, you know, they've got the three games in while they're out there. You know, the plan was to have two, so to get three he was pleased with. Plenty of people got the opportunity to play games, and he was very much of the mindset now that it was ready to start preparing for Walsall. Obviously, the goalkeeping situation is a bit of a an annoyance for him, and is going to cause a few added headaches, but I'm sure it will get resolved during the course of the week. But he felt it had gone well. Results wise, you know, you'll look at it and say, well, they played a German fifth division side and only won 1-0. You might have expected them to win by more than that. But I think by all accounts, you know, that SV Schoenbeck weren't a bad team. Mm-hmm. Perhaps not the greatest surroundings and facilities, you know. So it's always difficult in these pre-season games, you know, to be perhaps fully motivated for a game, especially when, don't forget, you know, Argyle would have trained, say, on the Tuesday morning. Yeah. You know, when they play these games, you know, they train in the morning, play in the evening. I'd be very surprised, I don't know for sure, but I'd be very, very surprised if Schoenbeck had trained in the morning, because they're a part-time team, and then played Argyle in the evening. So
I remember, you know, I can't remember what his name, what's their strength and conditioning coach called?
Ollie Osborne.
I saw he put somewhere that the heat was unbelievable as well.
Yeah, well,
no same for both teams, but that plays a part, doesn't it? You're not going to have maybe the most exciting game in those conditions.
And Derek Adams mentioned that, funnily enough, after the game against Maastricht on Friday. He said that when they got to the ground, the temperature was 39 degrees, 39. 39 degrees, which is hot.
Well, not 25 hot here, and
it's
we've been
very
struggling.
Hot. Yeah. So he said it was the hottest sort of conditions he'd ever known in a game that one of his teams had been involved in. So I think the heat was an issue, and like you say, it's the same for both sides. But you know, they played on the artificial pitch at Maastricht, which is good, but obviously, you know, that would have been pretty hot and needed a lot of water in, apparently, to, you know, make it not too bad. So they lost to Maastricht, you know, again, they beat Maastricht 2-1 a couple of years ago in pre-season. This time they lost 1-0. Derek Adams was of the opinion that they'd had more than enough chances in the game to have won it. They conceded an early goal in that game and couldn't get back onto level terms. And in the middle of it, they played against Feyenoord on the Wednesday at Feyenoord's training complex. It was very much, I think, Feyenoord's reserves, shall we call it. But with some good young players in there, you know, Feyenoord, one of the such top teams in Holland. Argyle lost that one 2-1. Ruben Lemira's getting a late goal. So, you know, one win, two defeats. But, you know, I think we probably sat and had the same conversation last week when we did the podcast, Jack. Results don't really matter in pre-season. I don't think you can read too much into pre-season games, particularly in heat on artificial pitches, you know, against reserve teams. So, you know,
And one thing I do want to ask you about, though, is in previous pre-seasons, Argyle scored lots of goals. Mm-hmm. He struggled a bit this time around. Mm-hmm. regardless of what we know, pre-season league, is that a bit of a concern, do you think? I mean, no, goals are goals, aren't they?
Yeah, but you know, I think you mentioned last week that David Goodwillie got 10 goals in one pre-season and then didn't score all season sort of thing. So, no, I don't think it is. I try not to read too much into pre-season. You can do, and you know, there might be one or two bits and pieces, but you know, look at the opposition they played last week. You know, could they have scored maybe some more goals against the German side? Certainly, but they didn't. But I'm not going to read too much into pre-season.
Saturday's when we find out a lot, isn't it?
Saturday's when we find out. I mean, the good thing from a sort of related to a goal scoring aspect is Ryan Taylor's played two games out there. He played 75 minutes against the Feyenoord side, and he played 90 against MVV Maastricht. Now we all know that if Ryan Taylor's fit and playing well, then Argyle, you know, tend to do well and tend to score goals, because it creates, he's not only scoring a few goals, but he creates chances for his teammates as well. So I think probably one of the most encouraging things from the trip last week would be that Ryan Taylor's basically got two games in, and then he's going to have a clear week this week to get himself fit and ready. And you know, I would fully expect him to start the game against Walsall.
But he'll still be playing a little bit of catch up, which people need to take into account, I think. Oh, you know, he's missed a few weeks of pre-season.
He's missed about 3 weeks of pre-season, which isn't ideal.
No.
But to get those two games in you know, a short space of time, and hopefully come for it without any problems, is good news for Argyle, no doubt.
Again, it shows some of the struggles he had last season, the fact that Sarcic was playing towards the end of last season, but it's been out for so long. Mm. Any word on him yet?
No, the manager said he was a week behind Ryan Taylor, so you know, he was with the squad in Ireland, didn't play in any of the games. The manager decided not to risk him, and I think that's sensible. You know, I think, you know, he was rushed back last season, and it's probably not done him any good now, but hopefully he's over the worst of it now. So, you know, you'd expect that he will be training fully now this week. Conor Grant looks to me as though he could start with Jamie Ness and David Fox as the midfield three.
Yeah.
There's no desperate rush to bring Anthony Sarcevic back, and I'm sure he'll get his opportunity sooner rather than later. Conor Grant did miss or wasn't involved in the last two games in Holland because of an illness, but not an injury, just an illness. So hopefully that was nothing you know, too much, and you know, he'll be fit to play. So, you know, I think Taylor will play against Walsall. I think Sarcevic perhaps on the bench.
And it's good to see that it's all worked out quite well. You know, we all know the dramas of the Holland camp last year, but we perhaps thought that they wouldn't go back there this year, but it seems to have worked. Derek's found a way for it to work, unsurprisingly, and they may well go there again in the future.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, he'll go back again. I think, you know, trying to sort the opposition out a bit earlier would be better, because then you get things more structured and you get the sort of opposition you're looking for. But you know, Maastricht is a good side to play. They've played them twice in 3 years, and that seems to be an arrangement that works quite well.
It's hard to build that relationship, does
it? No, it doesn't. No, and you know, they've played at a decent stadium, and you know, so that worked out well. So Derek Adams is definitely a man of habit and routine and things like that. So you know, I'm sure they'll go back to the same place next season, but you know, perhaps try and get the games firmed up, you know, earlier than they did this time.
Although it would be interesting to see if they do anything with America, because I remember going to a fans forum and they were asked that ahead of the 2020 and they said that's a possibility. So you never know, after maybe chase it up at some point.
Yeah.
But talking about injuries, we talked about Ryan Taylor and Sarcevic, and we briefly mentioned the fact that Harry Burgoyne's sadly broken his ankle, and that must be a huge blow, not only to the club, but to him as well. The goalkeeper curse just continues and continues and continues. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, seven keepers last season, and we've already lost one this season, and the actual league season hasn't started. You know, I feel so sorry for Harry Burgoyne, because he must have come to Argyle thinking, this is my opportunity to really get a good run of first team football. And by the sounds of it, the way Derek Adams explained it to me, was it was just, you know, warming up before training, just a bit of movement around. His studs got caught in the grass, and he's ended up breaking an ankle. And, you know, ankle breaks aren't the easiest to recover from. You know, Derek Adams said it'd probably be out until December. It's a long time.
Long chunk of the season.
It's a long time to be out. So, yeah, really disappointing for him. You know, you're 21 year old. You know, must have been. You know, he put a few tweets out. He was excited. He was ready for the season and looking forward to it. And instead, he's gone back to Wolves. He's in plaster. You know, Derek Adams mentioned that. You know, Wolves and Argyle have this arrangement where Argyle are committed at the moment to paying Harry Burgoyne's wages, even though he's injured. think Argyle will be hoping that as Harry Burgoyne's going to be out for such a long time, they might be able to come to some sort of arrangement compromise with Wolves over that. But, you know, that's the agreement they entered. So, you know, Wolves would be within their rights to say, no, that's what we're sticking to. And then, you know, the question then to Derek Adams, well, are you going to replace him or are you going to go with the two goalkeepers you've got? No, he's committed to having three goalkeepers. He thinks it's important to have three goalkeepers. So who is that third goalkeeper going to be? Is it going to be Remy Matthews, who's been told by Norwich that he won't be their first choice keeper this season? So that is an option. Although, you know, whether that will come to pass or not, who knows? So we've got Carl Leatheren, Michael Cooper and Ian Other. And that Ian Other, if he comes in this week, might well start against Walsall.
I mean, Derek Adams is going to have a long list of goalkeeper connections after the last few years. I mean, it's...
He must know an awful lot of people. And the one thing I suppose I'd say about goalkeepers is there's an awful lot of goalkeepers out there that aren't going to get first team football.
Of course.
A lot of goalkeepers. Now, you've got to find the right one, but I'm sure... You know, he proved last season that fairly short notice he could come up with goalkeepers from left, right and centre. They'll know a lot of people in the goalkeeping fraternity, won't they, after last season. So,
well, they might not want to come down here with the record they've got.
No, maybe not. But yeah, so...
I mean, that's the sad thing. I mean, I spoke to Harry Burgoyne in the media day. You know, he was excited to come off a few games for Wolves last year. He played against Liverpool a little while ago.
Yeah.
He also mentioned the fact that he's with England and wants to progress there. So it's such a huge blow for someone of such a young age as well.
If he'd come down here and had a season, say, like Remy Matthews had done or something like that, it would have put him in a really good position to further his career, wouldn't it? He could have gone back, you know, with lots of League One experience under his belt. He might have got an England under 21 call up or something like that, which would have been great, wouldn't it? You know, everything would have fallen into place, but that is football for you. You know, just when you think things are going well, you quite often find out it's going the opposite direction, sort of thing. So, you know, we can only wish him well and you know, see what happens with
his
recovery.
And the timing's just terrific as well. I mean, I've spoken to a lot of people, you know, over your 20, whatever years, you know, I'm sure you've spoken to a lot of players where they say, you know, getting injured towards the end of the pre-season is one of the worst because you've done all the hard work, you're just getting there and then you're back to, not even square one, because, you know, you're back before that, aren't you?
Yeah, really? No, way before that. Because, you know, at the start of pre-season, he'd have been relatively fit. And yeah, it's very unfortunate.
So you mentioned Remy Matthews there. I mean, Derek Adams, I believe, said that he doesn't think Remy Matthews is an option. Is that Derek Adams being Derek Adams, or is that the truth, do you think?
Probably somewhere in between. You know, do I believe it fully? No, I mean, there's got to be a chance. You know, Remy Matthews enjoyed it down here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at the way he had his first child at the back end of last season. Him and his wife up in Norwich. And there was a few complications along the way. Fortunately, it all worked out well, but it'd have been very easy for him to have stayed up in Norwich and not come back for the last couple of games of the season, but he did. He was committed to Argyle. He enjoyed it down here. You know, I spoke to him a few times, and yeah, he definitely enjoyed it. He enjoyed playing first team football. He enjoyed the rapport with the fans. The fans really took to him, didn't they? And he enjoyed and appreciated that. So, you know, if Plymouth Argyle knock on his door, and you know, I'm reliably told that, you know, there's discussions have taken place between Argyle and Norwich. You know, I'm sure he would consider it. I'm also told that there is other interest in him, in taking him on loan, which is hardly a surprise.
No surprise
really
at all.
Now, if that other interest is closer to Norwich, perhaps at a higher level or another good League One team, would that, you know, sway it? Now, maybe does Derek Adams know that there's other clubs interested in him? He thinks that... the likely chances are that he'll go somewhere a bit closer to Norwich. Is he trying to downplay expectations among the army, Green Army, and, you know, not getting them too excited? Because, you know, if Remy Matthews did re-sign for Argyle, and I emphasise did, if he did, you know, then they would be very pleased with that, wouldn't they? So I think Derek Adams is probably, not wanting to get too carried away, probably not 100% sure of the answer himself. It's a possibility, but, you know, if there's other clubs involved, you know, it's going to be, you know, if Remy Matthews is going out on loan, then he's got to decide, you know, is he prepared to come all the way down to Plymouth for another year, basically, you know, because I suspect it would be a season long loan. And then is he prepared to do that for a year, or would he be closer to home? I think there's still an outside chance that he could almost be the number two at Norwich. But I really don't think a 24-year-old who's had a taste of first-team football with Hamilton and then Argyle, you know, sitting on the bench at Norwich every week behind Tim Krul, who's a very experienced goal. I mean, that's why Remy Matthews is not getting,
especially at Championship chance. Level. I mean, that's a great signing for them.
You know,
it?
Dutch international, Premier League goalkeeper. You know, you're not going to get in ahead of Tim Krul. So I think if I was Remy Matthews, I'd want to play first team football somewhere, and then it's just finding the club that suits him and his personal situation.
I think it must be hard when you're a goalkeeper and you've had that year of playing first team football, then all of a sudden you're back to second or third choice again. That almost will seem like a backward step.
And Norwich has said they think that he can be their goalkeeper, first choice goalkeeper, but not he's not ready for it yet. Well, he's not going to get ready being first choice goalkeeper sitting on the bench for Norwich all season. The only way he's going to be able to challenge at Norwich is by having a good strong season this season and playing regularly. So
of course the loan market's open to the end of the month, isn't it? So yes, it's, it may well something happens in a few weeks' time.
You'd like to get the goalkeeping situation sorted out before.
Sorry, Remy Matthews.
Oh, in terms of him,
he might be waiting to see what happens, and you know, Tim Krul will get injured next week, and then these
that's very true.
Up. Things that change is, so quickly, don't
it
they?
It does. I mean, you know, Harry Burgoyne getting injured and Tim Krul signing, you know, changes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, we'll move on from the goalkeeping situation. We'll obviously bring anything when we find out about that. So, if there is no replacement keeper brought in, who do you think is going to get the nod this Saturday? Do you think it's Leverin as a backup, number two, or do you think Cooper might be given that chance?
I'd be very surprised if there wasn't a replacement. You know, Derek Adams is, you know, the type of guy that he'd have been busy ever since Harry Burgoyne broke his ankle. I think he'll have been making inquiries, sounding things out.
Which was last Tuesday, I think, so he's going to be a week and a half.
We're almost a week down the line from Harry Burgoyne breaking his ankle. I would be very surprised if there wasn't a goalkeeper brought in. Now, I suppose if he saw somebody that he really thought would do a good job, but the club said, no, we just want to wait until the season started. You know, we'll be prepared to do something, but not until, you know, middle of August, late August. And he was really keen on this guy, then maybe he might leave it and just, you know, play the first, you know, 2-3 games with one of Carl Leverin or Michael Cooper. Then he might do that. Other than that, though, I think he would really, really prefer to get the first choice, who we would presume would be the first choice keeper in. It's an interesting question. If he didn't, then you've got the experience of Carl Leverin and the inexperience but definite potential of Michael Cooper. It's interesting that Michael Cooper did start two of the three games out in Holland last week. He started the game against the German side and also against Maastricht. I asked Derek Adams about Cooper, and he said he'd done very well. He's fitted in well into the first team squad, although he did have that sort of taste last season with making his debut against Blackburn and then being on the bench for a few games. So, you know, for an 18-year-old, he's used to being around the first team squad. It would be a very interesting call. You've got Carl Leverin, who, you know, to be fair, particularly in his first stint in the team before he broke his thigh, didn't he? And he had six games where he did really well. You know, he made his debut at Wigan and had a good run in the team. I think you'd probably go with experience in the first game of a season, but I don't think anyone should underestimate how highly Michael Cooper is rated at Argyle.
And it's going to come to a point where they need to give him a chance, don't they?
Well, yeah, he's only 18.
Yes,
I mean, people do say that, and I get that, but there's very, very, very few 18-year-old goalkeepers that play in the Football League. You know, it's a rare thing. Goalkeepers, as we always say, develop later, physically stronger. I mean, that's one thing Michael Cooper's got in his... As one of his assets already. For an 18-year-old lad, he's a big, tall, strong lad.
Very much so.
So, you know, physically, you know, it wouldn't be a problem. If you're the manager and you're sat there and you've got a 30-year-old keeper who has been around for a long time, has probably been a career backup goalkeeper more than he would have wanted to, but that's been his lot in life for a lot of the time. So Carl Leverin hasn't played masses and masses of games, but he has clearly got much more experienced. Do you go with the experience on the first day of the season, or do you go with somebody that's got very little experience? I mean, it would be his full league debut.
Yes, of course.
You know, do you put an 18-year-old into that situation? It's a difficult one. But
be interesting,
like I said,
to see.
Ordinarily, I would say certainly Carl Leverin, but knowing how highly Michael Cooper is rated by the staff at Argyle, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that he could start.
And maybe that's why he played two of those games, just so he could have a bit of a stronger look at him.
So it's, you know, you can build up partnerships with defenders and things like that. So it'll be interesting. My gut feeling, and it's only a gut feeling, and I've, you know, I'm not great at predictions, as you know, Jack. My prediction would be that Argo will have a new goalkeeper in between the posts on Saturday at Walsall.
Getting used to that, aren't we?
Yeah.
So just to clarify, so the situation of Harry Burgoyne is, if he comes back in December, he then will be with Argo for the remaining
of the campaign? This is the conversation that Argo need to have with Wolves now.
So that's still to be determined.
It's a season-long loan.
Yeah.
Now, most season-long loans, not all, but I think most, have a break in January. So I think, you know, and again, it depends how the new goalkeeper does. And
a lot of different factors.
There's an awful lot of factors. They need to have a conversation with Wolves, and I'm sure they've probably had it already, but they need to have a conversation with Wolves about, are they going to look to try and bring Harry Burgoyne back at some stage? Like, when he's fit, is he going to compete? Or are they going to say, look, you know, the Wolves, comes to some arrangement where he knock it on the head? You know, and that would have to cost Argo money. I don't think Wolves should, you know, necessarily be expected to just take the keep. Oh, we're taking back, and it's no cost or hassle or inconvenience to you, sort of thing. But I would have thought, sitting here now, if Harry Burgoyne's going to be out to December, you'd want to get another goalkeeper in on a season long loan.
Because he might be out to December, but that's all the fitness and stuff again, isn't it? And
absolutely,
and the build-up.
But yeah, it'd be interesting to see how it all pans out. We hope to speak to Derek Adams sometime this week. I don't think it's going to be early in the week, unfortunately, but an obvious question for him is what is happening with the goalkeeping situation, and we'll keep a very close eye on it, because it's a key position for any team, isn't it? And it's not ideal, because if you do have a new goalkeeper in, he's going to be working with defenders that he doesn't know, and those defenders, you know, are still getting used to each other as well, because, you know, the centre back, just sort of going slightly off at a tangent, but the centre-back, there's four centre-backs that have all played regularly in pre-season. Now, who the two are going to be that start against Walsall is anyone's guess, because I think out of all the positions, that looks a really close competition. You know, there's been good and bad. I mean, we haven't mentioned yet the overall town debacle from last Saturday, the 5-1 defeat, which was awful. But the centre-backs have all had good and bad bits. But you've got Ryan Edwards, Scott Wooten, Peter Grant and Niall Canavan. I haven't got the faintest... You know, if you ask me to predict who the two are going to be that play against Walsall, I'd be completely guesswork. I mean,
it'd be interesting to know whether Darren Hammond's made up his mind yet, or whether he's...
When I saw him up at Biddeford, the Biddeford game, he pretty much said he knew his team then. So, but he's mixed and matched... all the defensive positions.
Everyone needs to get used to everyone, don't they? That's the way you can have a good team in the season.
It looks like Joe Riley and Gary Sawyer in the fullback positions to start the season. It looks like it, but again, you could be reading too much into
bits. Again, the other two that don't will be very hot on their heels, won't
they? But they'll be very hot on their heels. You've got four centre backs. I really haven't got a clue who the two centre backs are going to be. The midfield three, I'd be pretty confident as Fox, Ness and Conor Grant, as long as his illness isn't anything that's caused any problems. And the front three will be Carey, Lemires and Taylor.
It's just defence.
So I think it's the goalie and the two centre-backs.
One thing to note is Edwards has got a few goals as well, hasn't he, in pre-season, which sets maybe a little bit...
He's looked fine when I've seen him play. He's looked fit and strong. He scored a couple of goals from pre-season. It's been a funny pre-season because, you know, we saw a lot of the games in this country against lower opposition, so they weren't really tested very much.
Yes.
And then obviously they've gone to Holland, where, you know, we weren't there, and, you know, they've played against, you know, better opposition, so we haven't really seen them tested. So that's part of the reason, I think, why I'm not really getting an indication of who the centre-backs are going to be. It's going to be a lot of competition across that back four.
That's going to be very interesting. It'll probably be the most anticipated team news.
It always is, isn't it?
I mean, I
can't see the front three and the midfield three being any different than those. I mean,
especially Ramirez's goal.
I can't see that being any different. But the defence and the goalkeeper is going to be the interesting ones, I think, for Saturday.
Well, like I said, the Walsall game is approaching. Yes. I mean... I've been looking forward to it, actually, but I went to Bristol on Saturday and I left here at 9:30 and got up to Bristol 2:15, so I've already had enough of the M5.
Mm.
But we will be travelling to Walsall, back on the road. Mm. You excited? take that underway again?
Absolutely. I mean, the start of any season, you're always optimistic. I mean, pre-season does tend to drag a little bit, I think. So when you actually get to the serious stuff and you've got the competitive edge to it, that's what you want. Going up the M5 on a Saturday in the school summer holidays is never a good situation to be in. So, yeah, I think Argyle have already sold plenty of tickets, well over 1,000 tickets. In fact, I think over 1,500. So there's going to be a lot of the Green Army going up there. So, yeah, leave yourselves plenty of time to get there because, that area around Birmingham could well be busy on a Saturday.
But also, like you said, it's competitive. For journalists, it gives you a chance to really make proper viewpoints, doesn't it? It's hard, like you said, in pre-season to really judge things for what they are.
Yeah.
So this gives us a good chance as well.
But I think we're all in the same boat with the fans and everyone, and probably even Derek Adams to a certain degree. You can watch people in pre-season training and you can watch them in the pre-season games. If you looked at Argyle against Yeovil, for example, you'd have thought, crikey, this is going to be a really long season because, to get beat 5-1 by Yeovil was, and it was 5-1 after an hour. But again, I'm not going to read too much into that. And perhaps that might have been a bit of a wake-up call and a bit of a sort of, rather than having a nice, simple, straightforward pre-season where there's nothing flagged up as a potential problem, that the problems with the Argyle defence that day were clear for all to see. And I think all of the back eight that I'm talking about as being potentially in the first team against Walsall played in that game. So I don't think any of them particularly covered themselves in glory that day. It wasn't a great experience to see him play that game and, they'll have to do an awful lot better defensively. Attack-wise wasn't too bad, but defensively was awful against Yeovil and I'm sure they would have worked a lot on that last week. So judging things in pre-season is very difficult. We're in the fortunate position we get to see most, if not all, of the pre-season games or a lot of the games. And fans, say, well, what do you think of the new signings? What do you think of so-and-so? What do you think of so-and-so? And I'm always a bit reluctant to make judgments. And like you say, Jack, against Walsall on Saturday, we can start making judgments about people. Now, I'm not going to sort of look at one game against Walsall and describe new signing as the greatest thing since sliced bread or the worst signing ever. You've got to allow it a bit of time to get into the season. But
it's the next milestone, isn't it?
You can start making opinions and assessing things and... Walsall have been around in League One for a long time. Now, they perhaps aren't one of the biggest and most glamorous clubs in League One, but they have proved over a very long time that they know how to be competitive in League One. And they've not stayed in the third tier by fluke. Now, they've lost Ersan Öztürk, who seemed to be the Turkish Messi, seemed to be their star man last year. He was a very good player, wasn't he? Now, how much are they going to miss him? How much of a blow is that? They've brought players in, like all clubs do, and they'll still be bedding players in. So it'd be an interesting game for both teams. Argyle have historically done well away from home under Derek Adams. Don't always do that well on the first day of the season, although they did win at Wimbledon on the first day a few years ago. So, it'll be an interesting test, and we can start gauging opinions of things. And if Argyle have got Ryan Taylor up front and they've got Kerry Ramirez behind, I'd expect them to be able to create chances, and then it's whether they're able to take them could be a very important part of the game.
Maybe it's worth starting Greg Wilde. We know he's scored in both opening games for Argyle so far,
and that's it's weird how things work like that.
Very weird.
And you'd certainly, think, well, he's done it twice before. Could he do it again? Because he scored in that Wimbledon game. He scored the first goal against Peterborough last season. So, who knows?
And lightning strike three times.
Football is strange like that. You do get a little freakish stats that crop up like that.
Just for anyone who's interested, I'm just list a few of the signings that Walsall made. Andy Cook from Tranmere, who was a good striker in the National League. It'll be interesting to see how he does in League One for Walsall. Chris Dunn from Wrexham. Which obviously Dean Keats left Wrexham to go to Walsall, so he'll know him very well.
Yeah.
Josh Ginnelly from Burnley and Zeli Ishmael, who I always think look a very tidy player.
Yeah, and he seemed to play against Argyle, had a spell where he seemed to play against Argyle every week because he wasn't he on loan at somewhere and from Bury, and then he ended up playing Bury, and then he played for Bury, wasn't it?
He's been at a few clubs.
Our podcast listeners will remember there was a game where Ishmael played for someone, and then the next week he played for Bury against Argyle.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't remember which one it was now.
But he's a very tidy player, isn't he? So quite interesting.
Sharp, yeah. Right-sided player.
Dean Keats has also said he wants to bring in a few players this week, so they could well have some more signings. But yeah, back to normal. We'll be there blogging and doing all our bits as usual.
Yes,
so,
absolutely. Get back in the routine. Before we wind up, I think we should mention the Argyle kids that went to the Northern Ireland Super Cup last week, because they went over. It's a prestigious international tournament. You know, lots of big clubs send teams to play in that. You know, Manchester United, Southampton, and all sorts of teams, and from around the world. Argyle played Mexican opposition while they were out there. And Argyle have gone there for many years. It's a good tournament. It's a good way of giving academy kids, 13, 14, 15 year olds, a taste of a tournament in life and being away from home and playing for Argyle in important games. And it's the first time that Argyle have ever won silverware at the Northern Ireland Super Cup. And so they ended up, they like a lot of sort of kids' tournaments, you know, you don't just have the main competition, you have various competitions that filter down, so you have like the top four teams going one and so on and so on and so on. And Argyle end up in the VARS competition. They effectively were the ninth best out of 24 teams in their section, but they won their final against a Mexican team called Chivas Guadalajara. They won on penalties, and they did really well. So congratulations to all the academy staff and players and you know, all involved with that. That's a fantastic achievement. Oscar Massey, a 14-year-old from Truro, I think, I'll need to double-check this, but I think finished the tournament as a top goal scorer as well.
Wow.
5 goals in 5 games. So to go to that competition and come back with a trophy and with the top scorer from the tournament, you know, was a good week's work for them. So so well done to all of them.
A few names we'll recognise in there as well. Alfie Watson being one of them.
Alfie Watson, yeah. Paul's son was there. And there's some younger brothers of kids that have come through the Argyle ranks.
Just going back to Watson, is that weird for you? I mean, you must have been covering Argyle when Paul Watson was coming through.
I can remember when Paul Watton was coming through, yeah. So, yeah, you're making me feel old now, aren't you? When Paul Watton's son's on the radar for Argyle. So these lads are sort of 13, 14, 15 in the squad. So, you know, don't expect to see him in the first team any soon. But, you know, they are coming through the system. And, you know, I think quite rightly people have questioned, well, where have all the academy players gone that haven't gone? You know, Argyle have had trouble getting players from their academy into their first team. There's definitely an issue there about we need to see the club get more academy players good enough and getting opportunities in the first team. And that's something that hopefully is being addressed. But if you look at the system at the moment, the under-18s got to the fifth round of the FA Youth Cup last season, beating Manchester City and Burnley along the way. Now that the young kids have gone to the Northern Ireland Super Cup, and they're 2 or 3 years younger than, or 2 years younger, but they've won a final, and you know, they've had some good individual performances as well. So that is hopefully a sign that there are the players in the academy setup, both in the under-18s and a bit lower down, that have got ability. And now the wider question, the bigger question for people in the academy, and Derek Adams, remember, now he's head of football.
Yeah.
So that I think is one of his roles as head of football now, is how do we get more young players coming through from the academy into the first team squad. So watch, I think it's watch his space.
It was interesting to read though that I think they said Paul Watton, Natsky, they'd all help with that Milk Cup squad.
Yes.
So you know, it feels like there's a lot happening. You know, last season for the photo call, they had the women's team take the pictures of them. All these little things, this one club, it seems to be boding well for the future. At least they're trying to do something about it.
Yeah, well, it's a good test. There's clearly ability there. Argyle didn't get to the fifth round of the FA Youth Cup and do what they did at the Northern Ireland Super Cup without these young players having ability. Because the Northern Ireland Super Cup, some good teams go to that. You know, so you're not playing against, you know, nobodies. You're playing against good young, you know, players. The Mexican side, by all accounts, are very useful. So they've done well to achieve that. So they've got ability, but they've got to get them through to the first team. You can have as much ability and win things at youth team levels and stuff like that, but if you've got to get the whole purpose of the exercise, the whole purpose of starting at 9 or 10 is to try and get as many players as possible through your system into the first team. Now, Argyle, I think, would have to admit that they haven't done that well enough for whatever reason, and now they need to improve on that. And it looks like they've got the ingredients to be able to do that.
And a good start to the season, already getting a bit of silverware. It's never any harm in that.
Never a bad thing.
Well, thanks very much for listening. We'll be back again next Monday when we'll be looking back on the Walsall game and looking towards the Southend, the first home game of the season.
So. Yeah, because the Carabao Cup isn't the first Tuesday after, this season, so the Bristol City away game is not until the following Tuesday. So, no, look, we'll battle our way up the M5, Jack. We'll better leave it about 6 o'clock on Saturday morning then, by the sounds of things, and make sure we get there in good time.
I can't wait. Thanks for joining us.